Christ.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Amen. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. This month is the month of love, and we are dealing with love topics and themes in our ministry. I want you to turn your Bible, if you will, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10. Proverbs, chapter 10. We want to look at verse 11 and 12. Recorded are these words. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearers of his holy word. The B section of verse 12, but love covereth all sins, is the focus of our message this morning. Because I want to talk about love, the real cover. Love, the real cover. Say it with me if you don't mind this morning. Love, the real cover. Now, before I get into the message, I want to tell you that love is the real cover, not the real cover up. Love is the real cover, not the compromise. Love is the real cover of sin and not the condoning of sin. And when we understand, as we get into the text, what the cover is and what it represents, then we'll understand that it does not condone sin, or rather it does not operate in that is wrong, but rather what it does is it seeks to right the wrong by a spirit of love. Now, this is the book of wisdom, and the writer of Proverbs, who in this case is Solomon, is giving some wisdom, some godly wisdom, but he points out some things, again, that makes a difference in the life of believers who hear and receive the word. Again, if you look at verse 1, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Then he moves on and he says a whole lot of other things that I think is important. But when we get to the point where we look and see how this word is so important, and yet it is relevant to the believer today, especially as we point out and pull from it the whole scheme of God's operation and love as it relates to us. Now, it's always a good thing when we hear a word like this to put ourselves in the picture and not point the finger at somebody else. Because there is none who is perfect. There is none who is totally righteous in and of him or herself. And so it does us well to understand the lesson that is at hand for us. Notice again what the word says. Let's back up to verse 9. It says, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverted his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. It says also, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Now, if you look and understand this word and begin especially at the righteous, what is deemed here as righteous? Who are the righteous? If we are not righteous in ourselves, then it means that our righteousness must come from someone else or from some other source. God is our righteousness. Jesus Christ is our righteous covering. His righteousness covers us. His righteousness provides for us what we are not in and of ourselves. And so when we begin to understand this according to the word of God, we begin to understand that a righteous man is a well of life, not in and of himself, but because what has been bestowed upon him is also used and utilized as a well of life, of living water, living word, living truth, flowing out of him into a desert or a barren situation. A righteous person has the ability with the word of God to speak into a dead or dry or messed up situation life. A righteous person who has received life from the Lord Jesus Christ and flows in that life has the ability to be a vessel to pour out that life. When we understand that God wants to use us, when God wants to have someone available so that he, through them as a human vessel, can pour into them life and then out of them pour that same life in desert and barren situations, you, my brothers and sisters, understand then that the word says the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. There are other interpretations, but the main reality of this is that God gives to us his righteousness so that through us he might share his righteousness. Look again, it says, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Now, there is a contrast here. One is a well of life. The other, violence, is that covers his mouth, because it is violence that is a part of his heart or his substance or his matter or his makeup. And so it is important for you to understand that the contrast is an important one, because outside of the righteousness of God, we are wicked. Now, listen at this. You might not see, if you don't understand scripture, yourself as wicked, but when you're put in a situation where righteousness or wickedness is the only alternative, then what you are is going to be very evident in a situation of being where God wants you to be, saying what God wants you to say, and dealing the way God wants you to deal. Amen. Listen at this. None of us, you know, the Bible says, be angry and do what? And sin not. So let me ask you a question. How many of us in here can say, Pastor, I don't get angry. I can't even tell you the last time I ever got angry. Anybody? All right. Can you tell me the last time you got angry and didn't sin? Somebody ought to have an answer to that, sir. Well, this is our growing point, because we must understand that it is human nature, and God never pulls us from the reality of this world and the other world, because we're made of dust and divinity. But there's got to be a balance between the two, and that is a growing process by which we must understand that God understands, but we must understand and operate in that thing. How many of you can understand again what God says in his word when he says, verse 12, hatred stirreth up strife? Now listen at this. If somebody has hatred in his or her heart, the Bible says without contradiction, without reservation, hatred stirreth up strife. Just hate somebody. Every time you see them, every time you hear their name called, the hatred on the inside of you stirs up strife. Hatred is the natural motivator of strife. You can't have strife if you don't have hate. If you take hate away from a situation, there's no way you can have strife, because strife is the reality of hate manifested. In other words, have you had an experience where you have, you know, outside of Christ, hated somebody for whatever they've done or whatever they said or however they treated you, so forth and so on? Now, don't y'all go acting holier than thou. We've all been there. But listen at this. When love came in, hatred had to go out. And when you saw that person again, when hatred was departed from you and love was introduced to you, you no longer felt the same way about that person. Now, the person might not have changed, but you changed. Because love always changes the one it occupies. Listen at this. Hatred stirreth up strifes. Listen, it's in plural form, not singular. It is an ongoing process. But listen at this. If hatred stirreth up strifes, it also stirs up the person that the strife comes from out of that life of hatred. In other words, that person can never be at peace because somebody's always getting on their nerve. Somebody's always upsetting them. Somebody's always rubbing them the wrong way. Somebody's always doing something that they don't like. So it's always a constant reality of peacelessness because of the strife on the inside born by hate. Amen. Now listen to this. Martin Luther King said on the issue of love and hate, I've decided to love because hate is too great a burden to bear. Now listen at this now, decided to love because hate is too great a burden. Hate won't let you sleep at night. Hate will rob you of your appetite. Hate will change the beautiful picture of a face that God has on you and cause muscles far many more to frown up and mess your beautiful mascara up. Make brothers look like beasts rather than brothers. I'm trying to tell you, don't look at me like I'm making this up. Hatred makes you feel bad. Hatred makes your blood pressure go up. Can I get a real witness in the house? Hatred gives you a headache, makes you feel bad. Always does stuff to the one who allows hatred to operate in them. You don't ever feel good about yourself when hatred is a part of your makeup. That's why God has caused us who are believers not to live nor operate in the spirit of hate. Look at what the rest of the word says. But love covereth some sin. Little sins. A few sins. Now, if love covereth all sins, listen at this now. And the operative words are all and sins here because the covering is not just a partial, but it is total. Now, listen at this, because this love obviously is a love formed out of agape love, a real love. You know, to really love the way God wants you to love has very little to do with the other person. In other words, when you really understand God's love, you love folk in spite of folk. Wouldn't it be if you could look at your own life and see how different your life would be if God only loved you when you did right? Wouldn't your life be different today if God only loved you when you were good? Wouldn't it be different, your life, if God only loved you when you showed him love? Wouldn't it be different? I'm talking about your life now. Wouldn't it be different if God only loved you when you obeyed him? But listen to what the word of God says. Jeremiah records that he loves us with an everlasting love. Listen at this. Let me tell you why he loves us with an everlasting love. Because he has covered us with his love. And because he covers us with his love, the real us is not really seen. In other words, when he saw the real us full of sin, shortcomings, unrighteousness, irreverence, and all of the rest of the things that we were not, he says, there's no way I could love them like that. But in order to love them, I've got to give them a perfect love that looks beyond their faults and still meets their love. And so he takes his love and covers us so that when he looks at us, he sees his love. I think you ought to understand, brothers and sisters, that none of us after we've been saved would still be here if he hadn't covered us with his love. I'm not just talking about covering the sins that were committed before we were saved. I'm talking about covering the sins since we've been saved. I like to look every now and then on the faces of the saints who try to act holier than thou and act like preacher ain't talking to me this morning. He's talking to the person sitting next to me. But I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, when you understand the magnitude of the covering of love, it is important because it is indicative of the kind of example God gives to us so that we might extend to others. Look again, because I want you to see this. Hatred stirreth up strifes, But love covereth all sins. Now let's go back to the reference that it rates here in the word. And it takes us to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 4 through 8. Let's look at that right quick, because that's the reference for this verse. It says, charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity or love envieth not. Charity or love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Verse 5, doth not, still talking about love, behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. But look at what verse 7 says, because it's a continual progressive order here. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Verse 8, charity or love never faileth, never faileth, never faileth. It can never love. Hatred will, but love will never fail. Now, if love will never fail, and look at, again, what is a part of this divine love, of this agape love, of this fatherly love, of this fullness of love. If we loved like this, my question to you today is, would our church, would our world, with our circle of contacts be different if each one of us were able to demonstrate this kind of agape love? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How different would your workplace be if you could show this kind of love? How different could your home be if you could show? You know, the problem is, we want somebody else to show, but God wants us to. How different would your own life be if you were able to show love? You know what we don't understand? Real love understands the reality of a person and a situation and does not judge the person, but rather the sin. Let me make it plain. Let me say it another way. God knew that we were sinners from the beginning. But it wasn't the sinners he hated. It was the sin. And so he covered up the sins in order to love the sinners. And when you understand, if you remove the sins, then you no longer have a sinner. Y'all not getting this. And so if he removes the sins from you, then he doesn't have a reason not to love you. Because sin separates us from God. But the Bible says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing. But strife born by hate causes not only division, but it causes destruction. God wants you to understand that as we look and celebrate this month of love, how it is important because of what he's demonstrated to you, that you should be an example to others. When you were yet without Jesus Christ, without the righteousness of God, without the right standing with God, Jesus died for you. He didn't wait till you got it together to start loving you. Because you got some folk with that fickle kind of love. Now, just as soon as you get yourself together, I want you to know I'll love you. But I got news for you. I don't think I'd like that kind of love. But because there are just some days I don't get up on the right side of the bed. Some days there are things underneath the skin that I've got to deal with, and I might not be a pleasant person. And if you can only love me when I got it together, then you might not love me very much. But when you love me in spite of me and my shortcomings and my weakness, and you understand that beyond those things, that if you ever deal with the issues, that you'll find behind the issue is a person that is worthy of the love that God gave to all of us, then it'll help you love with a divine love. I mean, family fall out with one another. That's, I'm talking about same blood now. I'm talking, but something about it in the end brings them back together, and it is that love born out of that relationship. But how much greater is the love of God, where He loves us at all times? Amen. At all times. I think about that sometime, and I understand how God does what He does because He is God. But then I find it difficult to love like God. And I cannot do it like God without the Spirit of God. I've got the Word of God. I know how to love, but in my own strength and in my own power, I can't always do it. I know what the Word says. I know how the Word tells me when one strike me on the one cheek, turn the other. I know what the Word say, but just don't hit me on the one cheek on the wrong day. See, I know I'm supposed to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, but I know also the Word says God's Spirit will not always strive or dwell with man, and every now and then, if I've not yielded myself totally to Him, the Spirit is not in control. And if you catch me on the wrong day, I'm talking about saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to meet the man, not the minister. And then I've got to help you understand that on that wrong day is not an everyday situation. But if you love me, you will love me in spite of that day you caught me on the wrong day. Y'all ain't got to say amen. I know I'm right about it. It's not a license to act a fool. It's not a license or an excuse for you to accept my ungodly behavior. But it is a license for you to understand that every one of us are not at the same place spiritually. And when I was not at that place, God loved me. So when you are not at that place, I've got to love you. And so when you understand the cover of love, the real cover, it looks beyond. Listen, you know, and I'm going to deal with this in our teaching when we talk about deciding to love divinely. But I want you to understand, because the reality is real love isn't blind. Turn to your neighbor and say, real love isn't blind. It's not that real love don't see your faults. Hear me well. Hear me well. It's not that real love doesn't see your shortcomings. It's not that real love doesn't see who you really are in the dark and in the light. It's not that real love doesn't understand who you are and what you are and where you are. It's not that real love doesn't understand your attitude and your ambitions and your activity. It's not that real love doesn't see those things. It's in spite of those things, it chooses to love you. Sometimes I look at married couples and I wonder how in the world can that partner put up with that other person? Brothers, it ain't that she don't know that you lied. Let me talk to the brothers. I ain't just talking to the male chorus here. It ain't that she knows that you're not all that you ought to be and all that you present and all that you put as a picture of perfection. It ain't that she don't know all of that. I mean, you got to understand, it's because it was a choice, not blindness, but a choice in spite of your weaknesses. One older woman said about her husband, when she was asked, what was the secret to that longevity? Celebrated 50 years. And she was a refined and beautiful woman, even at 50, gracefully had aged and was beautiful in spite of all of the knowledge in the community of the husband not being all that he should, could, or would have been. And the woman said that the secret of our success was loving with the love of God. She said, listen, she said that the love of God made up for all of the deficiencies in their relationship. She decided to love him even though there were times he was unlovable. And when her love could not support and maintain the love for him, she had to love him with the love of God. But in loving him with the love of God, it enabled her to become all that she should be, and thus helped to transform him, making him all that he should be. You know, love takes the extra step, goes the extra mile, suffers the wrong, puts up and allows, not because they can't do anything, because the next point I want you to know, real love is not weak. Tell somebody, real love is not weak. You accept stuff not because you can't change it, and not because you can't do something about it, not because you can't stand up and raise your voice and do the same thing, but real love senses to seek that there's obviously some unrest underneath your skin, and two wrongs won't make a right. So while you are going through what you're going through, my job is to help you process it, get over it, and come back to reality so you can understand the balance of what real love presents. Real love covers, listen now, all sins. It's not selective in the sins that it covers. See, I'll cover this one area, but I'm not going to cover this other area. No, real love covers everything. And I got to tell you, sin is sin, and it's all ugly to God. You ain't got no pretty sin and no ugly sin. It's all ugly to God. He hates it all, and all of it he wants to eradicate. But in spite of it, he's chosen to love us, to cover us. Now listen at this, because if God pulled the cover of his love from off of all of us, you'd be surprised at the person you're sitting next to, what God would show you. Look at the person on the side of you. Say, not you. Come on now. Come on, not you. Look at what the situation is, and here is the picture, and I'm closing because my time is gone. The picture is of Adam and Eve in the garden after they had fallen. They were naked before they sinned, and it was beautiful because there was nothing to hide. They were naked because God had made them, and the whole earth that he had provided, he made them to have dominion over. They were in authority of everything. Everything was beautiful, and God saw that it was good. When they fall, or when sin entered in, now you're talking about husband and wife now, they then recognized that they were naked. They sought to get some leaves to cover themselves. Now, it wasn't the nakedness that they were really trying to cover, but it was the sin that revealed to them that they no longer had a covering, because God was their covering. And that was all things open and exposed to him, nothing to hide. And so there was no need for no clothing, because God was their covering. But when they sinned, that cover was removed from them. And they look, and then that which was holy, that which was beautiful, that which was all that God had designed it to be, had then become ungodly in their own sight. Because they had been exposed, and they saw themselves now in a different light. The leaves that covered them covered only part of them. It covered the physical part of them, but it didn't cover the spiritual part of them. And God had to give to them that spiritual covering again that would make them whole again.
For my way.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. You can receive today's message by sending $5 for cassette, $8 for CD, and $15 for DVD to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806, or call area code 225-774-8040. leaving your name, address, and order. Or you can purchase today's message at Stars Beauty Salon, 525 16th Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, on Tuesday and Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., Thursday and Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. May God richly bless you is our prayer.